Good evening, everybody. Bereshus Rabbi Billet. There is a Gemara in Maseches Shabbos as well as in Maseches Tainis where we're told that a person should never be somech al hanes. Says the Gemara, why not? Because maybe it's not such a good idea. Shema yenakan lo mischuyosa. Maybe you're going to be cleaned out from all the schusim that you have accumulated throughout your life in Shamayim. Maybe you're going to use them all up, so to speak, on this miracle that you want God to perform for you. This is not just a nice, cute Gemara. This is a Gemara that's quoted twice in Shulchan Aruch, both in Yaradeya, Kuf Tazayin, Kuf Ayin Tes, as well as in Choshen Mishpat as well, in the very last siman in Choshen Mishpat, where we're told that a person should not rely on a miracle. Rashi writes, based on that Gemara, that the same way we assume one should not rely on a miracle, so too, says Rashi, one is not allowed to derive benefit, to derive pleasure from a miracle that was performed either. That's what Rashi says. So the Stechemet has a long discussion whether or not Rashi means to say it's really usur, or does Rashi just say it's a midas chasidus, a person should try their best to abstain and not gain too much pleasure, too much benefit from a miracle. Either way, we have in this week's Parsha, we begin the Eser Makos. And in this week's Parsha, we're told that the first of the Eser Makos was Makas Dam. Now, there's a major discussion in the Ibn Ezra where he has the following question. I don't know, it never bothered me, but I guess the Ibn Ezra brings it to our mind, so it's something interesting. Ibn Ezra wants to know, what exactly was the miracle of Makas Dam when we know that the Jewish people had clean water and the Egyptians all had bloody water? So what exactly took place? How did it work out? Ibn Ezra says, was the miracle performed that really all the water in Mitzrayim turned to blood, and it just so happened to be that when a Jew picked water up, it turned into water? Or did it happen the other way? Really all the water in Mitzrayim remained as water. Anytime an Egyptian picked up the water, it turned into blood. That's the question that the Ibn Ezra is bothered with. And he says there were those who said this way, there were those who said that way. That's the way the Ibn Ezra is questioning the situation here. On the one hand, he says, the Pasuk says, Vayihi Adam Michal Eretz Mitzrayim. Sounds like Makas Dam inflicted the entire country, and everywhere you went, there was Dam all over the place, no water left in the country. Vayefchu Kalamayim Asher Bayar Ladam. That seems to indicate that there was nothing left that was water in the country. On the other hand, he said, there were those who felt in the opposite direction. So this is something to keep in mind. We'll get back to that in a minute. Either way, the Medrash writes, a very famous Medrash that we all learned in primary school, that the Medrash tells us that Mimakas Dam has Shiru Yisrael. The Jewish people got rich off of Makas Dam. How? So the Medrash goes on to an explanation that basically every time you had a Jew and a non-Jew together, the non-Jew was looking at the Jew, how are you drinking the water, how come I can't? And they tried giving a cup of water to the other, and every time a Jew passed the water to the non-Jew, it turned into blood. And then the Medrash says that until they came to the realization that the only way they're going to get water to sustain themselves is if they buy it off of the Jews. So this is what the Medrash tells us. So some Achronim asked the Kasha, how are they allowed to do that? Doesn't tell us it's Asr Lahenas Mimaisa Nisim. A miracle occurred, a miracle happened, and we know that all the water in the country turned into blood, and we know that for the Jews it remained as water, so how are they allowed to not only enjoy the miracle and drink the water? Well, that's Pikuach Nefesh, you have no choice. But how can you go ahead and make money off of the water also and sell it to a non-Jew? How can you do that? Isn't that a violation of Asr Lahenas Mimaisa Nisim? So there are many answers that are suggested for this, and we don't have time to go through a lot of them, but one which I saw, which is fascinating and brilliant, is in the Pardes Yosef. And the Pardes Yosef suggests the following answer, which I just find it fascinating. He says, by Makas Dam, we're told in the Pasuk, V'hadaga asher ba'yar mesa, means, not only was there blood in the land, but also all of the creatures that lived in the water were not able to live either. So he points out, if you understand that Makas Dam, really, the way it worked was that all the water in Mitzrayim turned into blood, well then why does the Pasuk have to say that all of the fish died? It's obvious. Fish can't live in blood. Fish can only live in water. So he says that would indicate that really what happened was here was that really all the water remained as water. Just when an Egyptian went to get a cup of water, it miraculously turned into blood when he went to get it. So there was really a twofold miracle here. Number one, all the water in Mitzrayim stayed as water and the fish died on their own. Fish happened to die on their own. That was a byproduct of nothing to do with the fact that there was dam in the yard, because that wasn't the case. And the second miracle was that any time an Egyptian came to take some clean water, it automatically turned into dam. This is the way the Pardes Yosef wants to explain why does the Pasuk have to go out of its way and say that the fish in the river died. And therefore, he says, if that's the case, so now, why did God set it up that way? If you have two options, you have an option either to make a miracle that everything's going to turn into blood, or you have option B, that everything should remain as water and then later it will turn into blood when a mitzvah picks it up. Why would God choose that option? Answer is, he said, because God wanted the Jewish people to become rich. And he knew that they were never going to allow themselves to become rich off of the miracle. So you know what? He left everything as water. And then later on, when they came to sell it to a non-Jew, a miracle didn't occur then. Everything stayed as it is. So the Jew knew he was allowed to get benefit, get pleasure from the miracle that transpired because it wasn't really miraculous money. So that's a brilliant insight. I'm not sure if it's the correct answer or not, but it's a brilliant suggestion nonetheless. Let's just close here. The Gemara says in Maseches Tainis, a story about Rav Chanina Mendoza. So it says, one week he comes home, and he sees that his daughter is very upset, she's depressed, and he asks her what's wrong. So she says, well, it's almost Shabbos, and the problem is we don't have any oil. So he says, nah, no problem. I'm going to take, you know, so she takes the chometz, the Gemara tells us, she takes the vinegar, and she lights that. And Reb Chanina says, Misha Amar, L'shemen v'yadlik, is going to allow the chometz to be madlik also. He who allows for the oil to burn and give light, so he'll allow for the chometz to give off light also, there's no problem. So the Mefarshim ask over there, what right did they have to rely on a miracle? Why were they able to have hana from a miracle that took place? They went ahead the whole Shabbos. They were enjoying the light that came out from this miraculous vinegar that they put into the flame. So why is it that they allowed themselves to do that? The answer that's given, many Achronim say the same thing. Just I saw the way Rabbi Tzedek writes it in his Sefer Pri Tzedek is a beautiful way that he suggests here. He says, Amna Reb Chanina Mendoza, Shaya Nefesh Chanina Vedoro, he realized that everything in his life was a gift from God. Everything was a miracle. To him, there's not two categories in life as miraculous and teva. There's no such thing as one part of my life is nature, that's the regular way of life, and then there's the aberration. There's something that happens when we have a miracle. No, to him, he realized every single second of his life is a miracle. And therefore he says, somebody who's used to a life like that, so what does it make a difference? So you're going to light the oil, it's going to burn, that's also a miracle. You're going to light the vinegar, it's going to burn, it's also a miracle. It doesn't make any difference what substance you put into the candle. Either way, when it burns, it's all miraculous because nothing really makes sense. We take it for granted. We think that teva really means something that's a given, that we know it's going to be here. But really, it's only because God has infused it with His miraculous nature. And that's why this is really what the Ramban says in next week's Parsha. That the minanisim agdolim hamafursamim, the point of having, what's the reason why God gives us miracles sometimes that are such open, obvious miracles? It's because adamodim minisim anastarm. It's meant to direct a person's attention that you're always supposed to remind yourself that really every moment is a miracle. That's why once in a while he has to make something that's an aberration for us to wake up and recognize that all of life is a miracle. But really the point is that we should step back and recognize that everything we have is miraculous. And that's, Rav Asher Weiss once told me, there are two things that we call the same thing. A nes is what we call a miracle. A nes is also in Hebrew a banner, it's a flag. So why do we use the same word to say a flag and also a miracle? The answer is because a flag is an indicator. When you have a miracle, it's supposed to be an indicator that everything else, it indicates that everything else in your life is also a miracle. It's not just for that one miraculous experience. It's to tell you that here's God. God is here in your life, not only at this moment, but He's here. It's an indicator for every moment in our lives to show us that that's the way we are. So that's the life that Rav Chanina Mendoza had. For a person like that, there's no problem to get hana from a miracle because to him, every moment of life was a miracle. For the rest of us, we assume, since unfortunately we don't have that kind of perspective, we try to live life al pi derech hateva. Every once in a while we recognize a miracle, but our job is really to get to the ultimate of al nisecha shebchalim imanu, to recognize that that is the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence in our life is always considered an absolute and unquestionable miracle.